Class.
Water Resources Management didn't join IES immediately on IES creation, but only a few years later. So I would estimate that that union came about approximately 74.
It sounds like an interesting story.
I mean, yeah,
why
I think
they
so.
why they didn't want to, and why they finally did.
That's pretty fully documented.
I think there were
letters passed back and forth. Mm-hmm. It was put into writing. Yeah, I think the hesitation on the part of Bryson as director of IES was that this was a standing special degree authorized by the graduate school. And what he wanted was an IES degree that would be controlled by the executive committee of IES, and that's what he still wants. So this did not seem completely to fill his specifications for an IES degree program.
Mm-hmm.
From the standpoint of water resources management, the reluctance came from the fact that they saw Bryson as controlling a budget which had formerly been immune from any university control because they were getting it from the feds.
Yeah.
So whereas they had been getting their traineeship and whatever outlay they had to make, that is a bit of faculty salary and secretary salary and so forth, they had been sole disposers of that money. Now they saw budget control coming in to their preserve. So there was some reluctance, but on the other hand, they needed some sort of organizational home in the university. And perhaps they took the realistic view that the federal money was going to run out anyhow, and it would be better to have some dollars, even though they would have to request them of a faculty director, than not to have any at all. But anyway, I was chairman of Water Resources for 3 years, from 77 to 80, and I was very aware that there was still a very strong feeling of the Water Resources Management Program is not the same as a mere function of IES. And IES tends to think of it as though it is a function of IES, and so there was some tension there. And it surfaced in a very strange and apparently picayune way, that is, dating from this time of federal funding, the Water Resources Management Program had a full-time secretary and an exclusive, though half-time, coordinator of graduate student activities, a person who had master's level training and who had the status of academic staff. And neither one of these positions was very efficiently utilized. The secretary, because while there was a burst of full-time activity in some months of the year, there was often not enough work to keep a full-time person busy. And the half-time staff specialist, because if one hires a half-time person, the tenure of that person is almost always temporary. So we kept having turnover, and it was my thinking that it would be better to hire a full-time person that could be shared with the other IES graduate programs. But my executive committee reversed me on that. And so when I became chairman of IES instructional programs, I found the opportunity to do that, but I had a mighty battle with my former colleagues on the Water Resources Management Executive Committee.
Yes,
And we finally succeeded in getting their acceptance of the idea of sharing a full-time person to deal with graduate students, and the person who became available is so good, so competent, that I'm sure now it looks like a very good idea for them. Prydicker.
Oh.
She has a master's and some professional experience in molecular biology or some such. She did some research on air pollution and human health. And she's a very competent person, but she has just a tremendous gift for establishing rapport with graduate students. And already she has accumulated so much more understanding of the programs and the characteristic problems that she's very much more useful than these short-time people could have been.
Yeah.
So this general idea, I think, now is regarded as a natural staffing arrangement. But those sort of things are difficult for faculty people to deal with because they have not usually had very much administrative experience themselves, and they tend to worry that if they don't fully control somebody, then they won't get full service from that person.
Mm.
They have not had a standard civil service sort of experience shaping their ideas. I mean, this is just the most natural thing in the world in any large administrative organization.
Do you want to say what you're going to do now in retirement?
Well, as soon as I can get out of this office, which will take a week or so of steady work to evacuate, I'm going to full-time woodworking. By that I mean making the things that I've been designing over the years and never had time to put into real life. I love to design shapes of things that have uses, like floor lamps and coffee tables and wall cabinets. And I love working with wood, probably because my father got me started in that when I was a boy. I am extremely anxious to develop this side of what I conceive to be my bent and my aptitudes. And so I'm going to do it full time, and I'm going to try it out in a small way in the market and see whether anybody agrees with me that these are good looking and useful things. And I regard it as really a wonderful adventure. I feel exactly as I did in 1936 when I decided here's the Tennessee Valley Authority in my state and I'd like to go to work there. It's just starting anew. Or when I came to the University of Wisconsin and decided I'll become a political scientist. It's a similarly new departure, and I think it's just wonderful to be able to have an assured living so you can take this sort of risk and have time while you still have some strength left to do this sort of thing.
It's fascinating. So you're not dependent on being a scholar and writing books to be happy?
No.
Or do you think that it may pall after a while?
Well,
you have to come back a year from now and find out.
I will powerfully miss two things. One is this forced invigoration each year with the entirely new model of mind, both of undergraduates and also graduate students, with new interests and new expectations and new questions to ask. And one reason I like the thought of staying in Madison is I'm going to get over here on the campus and try to imbibe some of that, even if at a distance, because it is, of course, one of the great rewards of teaching. The other thing that I will miss very much is the idea of making an impact on the scholarly world with publications. But I feel that is not an easy thing to do part-time. One has to do that full blast or one gets out of the stream. Mm-hmm. And I've edged out of that a bit as I took on more administrative responsibility. I published an article that gave me great satisfaction last year, but I haven't since then. I think this other kind of trying out my capabilities on a different kind of market will give me a similar
yes,
sort of excitement.
Yes, I should think so.
And there's one great thing about this new line of work, and that is, at the end of the day, you can see exactly what you've got done. Now, you can't do that in teaching or even in publishing. The only time you can see is when your book comes out or when, after 5 years, some now mature student comes back and tells you out of a blue sky, you know, I really changed my way of looking at the world in your class, but for 5 years you've been operating on faith. So I'm really going to enjoy going to bed with the sight of this object that I've glued up and put in clamps and taking those clamps off the very next morning and see if it's lined up and if the grain really is beautiful like I thought. That's a big satisfaction.
Well, glad I asked you. Good. We'll end this here then.
Yeah. Fine.